If you had to come up with 10 principles, not rules, 10 principles to govern your life, how do you do that? Just 10. God in heaven, who made us and designed us and loves us, we're made under His image. The reason why life is so important, it isn't because of my last name. It isn't because of my position. I was made in the image of God. That's why we're important. Amen? So He created us, and He wants us to hang out together and kind of love one another. Mainly, above everything else, He wants us to love Him. You know why? He's God. He deserves our love. He deserves everything about us because He created us. And then He came and died for us because of sin. So here's how I deal with the Ten Commandments. Let me be just honest with you and see if we can't be honest together. There's 10 of them. You ever think one's more important than another one? Say yeah. You know, killing's pretty bad. Okay? You know, killing's pretty bad. Thou shalt not kill. And so... So we kind of systematically think this is one that I think I need to really work on or I want to work at. And this one here maybe isn't just as important. And maybe it's not as important as this one. But there's one thing about me that just must aggravate God. It's my mind when I think I'm God. It's my mind when I think I know more than Him. And it's my mind when I think I've lived out here, I've been a preacher, I've been to school. I was in church 9 months before I was born. My mother never missed Sundays the whole time. I think I was there a week after we were born, all right? Been in church all my life. Fourth generation pastors in our lineage. And so sometimes, with the world going on, we think we know kind of more about it than God does. If you feel like that happens, would you say amen? Come on, you make me feel like I'm the only sinner here, okay? And so we do. We kind of see how important that is to us. And then we kind of guide it. Now we mix in politics, and we mix in tradition, and we mix in religion. Man, do we need a Savior? Do we need the top 10 to guide my life? Let me encourage you right now. We got an election coming. Have you thought about that? Do you know that's coming? Now, I tell you what. I don't care if you vote Republican or Democrat. But let me tell you something. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to be at a poll and cast your vote. It's important for God to be lifted up in America. It's important for us to set the standards. Whoever we are, that we would go and just cast a vote. You know how many men and women on the battlefields have died for America? You know how many 18 to 22-year-old young men and women who died in America so we have the freedom of our Constitution? And so I want you to go there, and I want you to cast a vote. As God would lead you, you pray and do that. So all these things are important to us, but when you mix all those in together, we need to have the authority of God. And so, I want to help you stay because we've talked about the first four commandments. They deal with God in our walk with God. Now, today we start family time. And now, because if we learn how to deal with God and honor God, our families will work well. How's your family working? How's your family working? I talk to families all the time. There's none of us to stand up and say, boy, we got one of those Holy Ghost, sweet, loving families. We always got an aunt or uncle or brother or sister need to sit over in that corner, right? Because we get in the middle, it gets kind of confusing in this corner, all right? Families don't work very well. It's because we messed the first four commandments up. If you don't do it right with God, He says when it comes to the family time, we'll do it right with one another. And so, see, the commandments are so important to us. And the reason why I've enjoyed this series, I haven't preached the Ten Commandments in years. But there's a freshness that comes when you look in the depth of it. There's a power that comes when you see what God's top 10 is. And you honor His 10. That is a responsibility of us. And not just 5 of them, or not 3 of them, not one's more important than the other. Every one of those are important to God. Or He wouldn't have named them. He just did 10. Aren't you glad He didn't do 100? Say amen. We'd really be in a mess, right? So he came up with 10. And so as we talked about all the commandments and all it means to us, and we deal with God in those first four commandments, last week we dealt with the Sabbath day. He spoke 96 words in that commandment, okay? And he starts out the commandment, remember. Don't forget it. Because when you remember me on my Lord's day, the other commandments just fall in place. There's only one God, Jehovah, amen? And we respect him. We know who to worship, then we know how to worship, and we don't cuss and lower his name. We respect him, okay? And then we remember the Sabbath day and worship him. That's how we started out those first four. He started them out that we would just honor him. But let me share with you, the most broken commandment of all is the Sabbath day. Statistically, only about 25% in the world try to honor that commandment. Only 25%. The Lord's Day. He tells us over and over. And I don't care what's going on in your life, ladies and gentlemen. The Sabbath day is the Sabbath day if you're on vacation or not. The Sabbath day if it's deer season or not. The Sabbath day if your kids are playing in sports or not. It's the Sabbath day. It's God's day. Now, I think maybe killing's a little bit more responsible than the Sabbath day. That's your stinking thinking. That's my stinking thinking. Say amen to that. It's just stinking thinking. It stinks in the nostrils of God. His Sabbath day is his day. He declared it in the top 10. But see, we just think it's no big deal. Well, let me tell you something. When you get it right with God, we get it right with each other a lot easier. Say amen to that. And when we try to make it up with what God says and what we think about it, man, his thinking is not my thinking. His ways are not my ways. Even though I've tried to honor him through my life, he's still so much smarter than us and know more about it. So if we would think about our words when we proclaim and we take the words into vain and we make it just vanity, how much that must break God's heart? Because out of our mouth comes the desires of our heart. And so their words are so important. Then the Sabbath day is so important. It's there. See, absolute truth is absolute truth. Not relative truth. It's absolute. Thou shalt not kill is absolute truth. Thou shalt go to church on Sunday is absolute truth. They're truth. And truth does what? Sets us free. I tell you all of that because we can't pick and choose the commandments we want to go. He just gave us 10. Now, the Israelites, they took a test. They took a vote. See, they didn't just vote in. They didn't just do the commandments because Moses said it. Moses says, okay, God says this. He'll bless you. He'll feed you. He'll prosper you. He'll give you long days. He'll bless you if you just honor these 10. How many of you think we can do that? And they said, amen. And so they adopted the Ten Commandments by a vote. They said, we'll do it. We're God's children. And boy, just think how God could bless us if we would just be his children. And they blew it in the old covenant, the old contract. They couldn't keep them. We don't either. But we don't make them less important just because we don't keep them. That makes sense? We don't make them less important just because we don't think it's that. Because everything in the world is trying to take us away from Christ. This pandemic that we're in today, I believe it's a spiritual warfare. I believe it's not here to shut down the White House. It's not here for the Republicans and Democrats to win. It's to shut down the church house. I believe that's what it's all about because the devil hates the church house. Because Jesus stood on the rock in Caesarea Philippi. He says, the gates of hell shall not stop my church. I'm going to knock the gates over and we're going to charge hell. So we're the church. And the devil hated that when he said that because the church is the only enemy that he can't deal with because of the power of God. Amen? He can mess up our politics. He can mess up our thinking. But he can't mess up the church. But it's getting messed up today. Supreme Court decided the true north of what we live by laws said that intermarriages between gay couples is not wrong. The Bible teaches it's wrong. The Bible teaches adultery is wrong. The Bible teaches lying's wrong. Now, how about that one? Is lying as bad as killing? Say yes. With God. And where does it count? God. Where's your blessings come? God. Where does life flow? God. And only God. He's a graceful God. But he does respect when we honor his laws and his blessings flow. And so all those things are important to God. Just because it's not important to us, we need to learn the commandments. Don't we get far away from it? Sure we do. So in the process of that, he wants to encourage us. And he wants us to be where we can be. Now, he knows we're going to break them. That's the reason why he sent his son to die. Because we break them. But we may break them, but we never may okay it. Now, you write that down. These aren't 10 suggestions. These are 10. I got that plaque in my office. Sometimes I'm writing a sermon and I read that plaque. Not suggestions, commandments. We make them suggestions today in a Baptist church. Say amen. It's just a good way to do it. But we got better ways nowadays. Whatever it takes. So now we move into family time. These next commandments, talking about honoring parents. Isn't that pretty neat? Learning to build families. You know why build families is so important? Because every little boy and girl, man and woman in the world, were born in his image. The image of God that flows through them. And he wants them little boys and girls to love him and to honor him and respect him because he's God and he made us. He loves us that much. So now we move into the family time. Let me read that commandment to you in verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Who give you your days? God. And he says he'll give you good days and long days. It's the only commandment with a promise. If you honor this one, he'll give you long days. Now, that commandment is pretty important. Now, God wants to help my family. I'm so glad God hears my prayers for my family. Aren't you? Man, when my daughter and granddaughter had cancer, I didn't call up the doctor and see how he was going to do. I talked to God and asked him to do it however he wants to. See, God takes care of my family. And sometimes when I think I'm smart enough or rich enough or got enough resources and got good insurance, I don't need God. Ladies and gentlemen, some people get to this point in the hospital, I've heard it say, well, all we've got left is prayer. And let me remind you, all we've ever had was prayer. Because he gave us the life and he promised our lives. Then he says, honor our parents, our mothers and fathers, to do that. Now, I'm going to tell you three different ways to do that today. It's either, we know there's got to be different ways because a four-year-old will honor parents a lot different than a 40-year-old. So I'm going to tell us about stages, how to honor parents. And let me say this. I'm going to close with this. How do you honor a dishonorable parent? How do you honor a parent that abused a child? That rejected a wife or a husband. How do you take care of those parents? Let me tell you about the commandments of God. We are not exempt from the commandments just because we're around turkeys and sinners. We honor our parents through it all. I won't bring up in the message how to do that. It's a lot harder to honor an unhonorable parent than it is to honor an honorable family. And thank God for that. Let me just say thank God today that you're here to honor the Sabbath day. Thank you for doing that today. You didn't come because it just helps your week. You come because God commanded it. And you love him. Amen? And we love him. And nothing can stop that love. Nothing can stop that love. Remember when you first fell in love with your mate, your first girlfriend or boyfriend? Nothing could stop you. I remember one time I fell in love with a little girl. Her name was Linda. I think I was about 10 years old, and she lived about 3 miles from me. You know what I did? I got on my bicycle, and I was going to see her, man. 3 miles a long way from me. I took off my bicycle, broke down the first mile. You know what I did? I walked the next two. I was going to see Linda. Man, my old heart was just puppy love, but it was puppy love. Love will make you go the extra mile. Love doesn't find whys you can't do it. Love will keep you doing it. I talk about my grandchildren a lot, and my family a lot. You know why? I love them. Nobody, I didn't take a class, I'd brag on my grandchildren. You didn't either. You know why you brag on them? Because you love them. You know why you brag on God? You love him. Have you been bragging on him? You've been bringing him up? I just don't do that. I'm just not that kind of guy. Well, have grandchildren and don't show them no respect or no love or get it out there. You'll become that guy. You know why? Love changes us. I want you to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And so I want us to see how we need to honor him in a very special way. Now, Jesus, he kind of straightens out some things about the Ten Commandments. Let me, in Matthew chapter 22, I want to read verse 37. The Sadducees were attacking Jesus on his principles of what right and wrong is. They were attacking him. And the Ten Commandments, they were saying, man, the Sadducees didn't believe in heaven, and so they're really having a hard time with him, man. So then the Pharisees come, and they bring a lawyer. They're going to bring a lawyer to attack Jesus. Now, isn't that dumb? You may be a lawyer, and I'm not against lawyers, but you're no competitor with God. Say amen. So they're attacking him about this commandment stuff, you know, just getting these 10 down. So he breaks it down and makes it simple for him. Let's break it down. In Matthew chapter 22, he begins to deploy this truth into their life. In verse 37, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind." That's the first four commandments. Just learn to love him. Love him with everything you got. The air that you breathe, he gave it to you. The appetite that I have in my body today, he gave it to me. The blessings of seeing Jesse, he did it. Wake up this morning with my beautiful wife, he did it. He does everything. He's God. He takes care of us. You love him with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. This is the first and great commandment. That's how he started it. Then he goes, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, Brother Ron, you ought to meet my neighbor. My neighbor ain't worth loving. My neighbor just isn't worth it at all. He's pretty ornery, or they're pretty ornery. But he says, when you can learn to love me with all your heart, that neighbor thing will come out easier for you. Because, see, you have to have love in your heart to give love out. And you know what? When you love God, he fills you up with love. So you can love an enemy. You can love people despise and forsake you. That's how it works. So then he says, the second is like this. You should love your neighbor yourself. On these commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All the prophets preached and all the law said. Those two sum it up. The family. Loving the brethren. Loving family and parents, all that we are. Now, loving honorable parents, surely a lot easier to do. I've been doing counseling for probably 40 years. I think sometimes way too much counseling. Just get so busy in that, you miss some other things. But I've been through a lot of stories. I've been through a lot of reasons why they try to convince me that I don't love my parents or don't have to love your parents or honor your parents because of this and this and this. I'm torn by their reasoning. I hear what they're saying. But the Bible says, honor your parents because they're made in the image of God. They just didn't act like God. They're made in the image. Remember that. So I'm going to teach a little bit about that. I want, at the end, I want to bring about some things we can do. Now, let's talk about the three levels. Children are taught to obey. Okay? We're going to read that in Ephesians chapter 6 in a few moments. Children begin by obeying parents. Does your children obey? The problem isn't their personality. The problem isn't they got these issues. Their problem is parents teach them to obey. Okay, I got a sister-in-law who is she's a dog trainer. cadaver dogs, and she just loved dogs, and she trains them, and they're trained. You know what? You take your dog to be trained obedience through an obedience school. You take your dog to an obedience school. But parents, you take your children and teach them obedience where you live. You don't take them to a school. You raise them through obedience. There were six of us kids with the preacher, preacher's wife. I hear this all the time, but it's hard to come to this church with kids. Should have talked to my mom and dad. They didn't have a problem at all. They didn't have a problem at all. We learned how to sit down and behave. They taught us. It wasn't easy. There was pain on both sides. But we learned to respect God's house. My parents taught me that. I understand all the deal. I know the drill. I'm not against children's ministry. I'm for children's ministry now. I've been for my life. But parents train children to obey. You ever go to Walmart and that little dude's running down the aisle tearing it all apart and nobody even knows who he is? Wouldn't you like to just be his mom or dad for a moment? Say, yeah. And then you look, it was one of your grandkids and didn't know it. That'll change your mind in a minute, right? You know what? You love them. That's why. See how that stuff works when you love? But see, we must train our children. And we must be that. The first stage is, now, I want to go to Ephesians chapter 6. Paul is speaking of this, and he deals with it in Colossians 2, and it's pretty pointed. Again, it may not fit your social norms. It may not fit your lifestyle, but this is the Word of God. This is the right way, the best way to do it. Dr. Spock, when I got done reading all of his stuff and studying, he didn't know anything about me. But the Bible does. Now listen to what it says in chapter 6, Ephesians, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Parents, your responsibility is to teach your children boundaries. When it's permissible for this, when it's permissible for that, when it's time to play, when it's time to study. My grandkids are having some sad days. They can't have no tablets, no computers, because they haven't been doing their homework. And my daughter said, about a week from now, they're going to love their homework. They're going to love to know that's important. You know what? You know what she's teaching them? Obedience. First things first. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know, children have a conscience. They get guilty too. You know what happens when they get guilty? They get mean. Same thing that happens when we get guilty. And so their guilt's got to be gone. You know how we do them? We discipline them. You know, when little Johnny spills milk, it's okay. But when little Johnny just does it on purpose, it's not okay. So he pays the price for that. Because if he doesn't pay a price for that, he's always guilty with you. He can't look you in the eye. But if there's a discipline, if there's restitution, you can love again. But there's no obedience. So teach your children obedience. This isn't your dog. This is your children. Amen? You know, me and Kathy have been traveling a bit, and everybody has these beautiful dogs, and every time you walk by, this lady's got a dog, or her husband's got a dog, and they always talk about, that's a beautiful dog. You know, that's a beautiful animal. You know what I say? That's a good-looking husband you got there, honey. I talk about her husband, not the dog. I talk about his wife, not the dog. I understand that. But people is so important. I preached a sermon at Franklin Crossroads back when I was really dumb. I was on the radio and TV about how America's going to the dog. And I'm a dog lover. Just let me preference that. I'm a dog lover. But boy, America's going to dogs. We think more of our dogs. More dogs are more obedient than kids today. But we can do both. Animals are special. That dogs, cats, dogs, not cats, dogs. Okay, let me go there. I'll say that. Okay. He says, honor your father and mother, commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Longevity, there it is. And you fathers. Fathers, raise your hand. Father, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. You fathers. I'm a father. Do not provoke your children to wrath. You know what brings defiance, rebellion? Discipline without love. When you discipline anything without love, it always brings rebellion. And we have a rebellious generation of children and parents today because nobody taught them how to be obedient. So, Father, don't provoke your children. Don't abuse them by trying to correct them. Don't scream them down. Don't hurt them. Nurture them. Protect them. But, fathers, you're it. I know you may work 80 hours a week, but let me ask you a question. Why do you do that? Well, I'm trying to take care of your family. I'm trying to take care of the kids. I'm trying to have a new car. The most important part to your kids is you. And if you think your job and your money can supplement that, you are foolish. And you know why I say that? Because I was foolish. My daughter was 5 years old before I realized I wasn't a much of a dad at all. I thought I was. I was buying the best clothes, lived in the best house, drove the nice car. But you know what that was about? It was about me, not my daughter. It was about me. I want everybody to think I'm a good dad. I want everybody to pat me on the back because he works. He's a hard worker. He works 60 hours a week. Kids don't know him, but he's a good dad. Dad, you're it. And if your job makes you work 60 and 80 hours a week, I would highly recommend you find a job where you can parent and be a worker. It's worth it. Your children are at stake. And nobody's made any more stakes than me. I'm honest with you. I'd love to have Tanya's first 5 years back. She learned more in those first 5 years than the years in her life, and I wasn't there. I was being a good dad. Working three jobs, making a lot of money, just got out of the military, never had any money. And I just said it was okay. But the Bible didn't say that's okay. See how different the Bible is and how we are? We are socially so different in America. We are spoiled. Out of the father and mother, first commandment promise that you may be well with you and may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. You discipline them with love. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Tell them how good Jesus is. Tell them who he is, what he is. Dads, now let me speak to the single moms here today. And for the stepfathers and stepmothers, that changes a lot. That's very hard. 40% of all children born in America today doesn't even have a dad in the house. 40%. Think about that. And yet, who does this in the Bible? Dads. The 60% are there. Are they even there at all? You won't let your kid miss a baseball game, but you won't be there to help him play baseball. And give him time. See, what's important to us is the commandments of God, the family. It's family time now. See, he's taught us how to respect him and worship him and be in his house and keep rehearsing it so we don't mess it up and don't get in our own minds and stay in his mind. Keep loving him first. Do that. And then you begin to take to your family. Then you begin to teach your children. And then begin to grow up and they love you. And let me tell you something. As long as we live, you better teach your children to love you because one day if they don't love you, you're going to be a mess. Say amen to that. That's how important it is. He says, don't provoke them. Just love them. Now, let me just share this with you. Three levels of authority for my life to live in harmony with everybody. Number one, the first level of accountability is our conscience. Walking with God, teaching our children to love God, and our children are born again and God lives in their heart. Their conscience, when they break the ways of God, and you've been taught obedience, and you break what's wrong, your conscience tells you, your conscience brings you back into a correction. Got that? The first law is conscience in the heart of a child. Teach them obedience, what's right and wrong. Give them the boundaries. And then their conscience helps you as a parent. Number two, The next law of a will of authority is the parents. The parents, you are to teach your children how to be obedient, to walk right and left, how to be a person of that loves people. See, it's the parents' job to keep our families in harmony with God and one another. You know, the third level is the government. The government's laws. We are to honor those. But when you have a conscience and you've been taught, you'll never have a problem with the law. Because if parents don't teach your children how to do it, there'll be a sheriff in Hardin County or Meade County that would be glad to help you. And they'll throw their butt in jail. You don't know how many times I've spent with young ladies and young men, 18, 19, and 20 years of age, in jail for a long time. And it could have been stopped with a conscience from God. It could have been stopped with a parent. But now the sheriff will do it. Or the governor will do it. Or the president will do it. Christians, we should have no problem living by the law of the land because it's the right way to live, and we don't have right in our hearts until we've been taught it. If we don't teach it, we lose it. And so the principles comes to our life. I just want to pray that if you're a single parent, man, get into a church family. Get into a church home. Find that nurture around you. And man, my heart goes to you. I don't know how we can do that, but God can. You're not in a penalty box. You're not out. You're still the parent. And if it's a deadbeat dad or a lonely mama, whatever it is, step in there and go the extra mile. It's hard. And if you're not a biological father, it's difficult. It's different. I don't think I've ever sat to a father and heard anything more painful in his life. He married his wife and she had children. They were like 4, 5, and 6, been married for 20 years. And that 16-year-old looked at him one day when he told him to correct him. And you know what he told him? You're not my dad. You can't tell me what to do. He said it was just like taking an arrow and sticking it right through his heart. It makes differences. It breaks hearts. The reason why we got to do this with God, and then we can do it with ourselves. And then we can be people of God, protected by God through the power of the Holy Spirit, with a conscience, with being taught right from wrong. You know, America today don't even know what right and wrong is. It's more personality instead of principles. More personalities instead of principles. And so we find ourselves in that difficult moment. And I just want to help you in raising children in life. In my psychology, I become a behaviorist, and this is what that means. I believe we train it, we discipline. Some are easier than others. But behavior does not change till you pay a price for behavior. When that sheriff puts them in jail, we hope that will keep them out. But remember, behavior don't change until you pay a price for wrong behavior or rewarded for good behavior. That's how it works. And parents, you're not psychologists. You're parents. Just love them. Teach them. All the way up through guidance. It's everything to us. Adolescents, I want to teach you to respect your parents. You had to be obedient as a child. Now as an adolescent, respect them. Here's what Jason tested me on every corner. We had Tanya, and we was going to write a book on how to raise children. Then we had Jason. I read 100 books everywhere I could. See, just respecting. Just help us. Because Jason says, Dad, you don't understand. It's different today than when you was growing up. You're brain dead. Things are different, Dad. I don't have to wait. I can come in at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's different now, Dad. See, they always think that they lose respect for us because they think we do not know what's going on. Parents have a difficult time with adolescents. You know how long it takes a 17-year-old to destroy your whole house that whole day? Less than 13 seconds. In 13 seconds, that 17-year-old can put your whole family in a tailspin. I know it. I've been there. It's hard. But adolescents, you respect your parents. And you know who taught you how to do that? Your parents, through obedience. Teaching them independence as well as being dependent. Let me read this to you. I read this week and I thought, you know, youth seems to be more out of control today than ever. You ever hear that? You ever make that statement? Let me ask you, the school, the teachers and the principals. My heart goes to you, man. You guys are honorable. You're trying to fill in the gaps from yesteryears and families and to get them to learn. You're in a tough spot. And it's hard. Your hands are almost tied. And difficult days. Youth seem to be out of more control than ever. Listen to these quotes. Number one, the world is passing through troublesome times. That's the reason why. Number two, young people think of nothing but themselves. Sound new? They have no reverence for parents or old age. They just forget. They talk as if they know everything. The girls are more forward and unwomanly in speech. This was a quote from a preacher's sermon preached by Peter Hermit in 1274. Some things just don't change. Amen? How many hundreds of years ago was he saying the same thing today? It is hard. But youth and adolescence is a difficult... How many of you would like to be 16-year-olds today? Man, I'd hate that task. It's tough. Challenges and temptations is tough. My heart goes to them as parents, as grandparents. Step three. Now, you obey, you respect, and then you honor your parents. You know why? One day your parents will need your help. The world is slowing down. Their world is slowing down. Friends have become fewer. Contacts are not there. They're living in a smaller setting. Their whole world's changed. They need our support and encouragement. In 1 Timothy 5:8, I got this verse of scripture in my office hanging up. But if we provide not for our own, especially those of this his own house, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. If you don't even take care of your own family. And where are we at with that today? Kathy and I spent 2 years taking care of our parents in our home. I'm blessed to be able to do that. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes parents, you can't take care of your own home. We need the assistance of a nursing home or assisted living. Sometimes that happens. It just does. My biggest problem wasn't taking care of our parents. My biggest problem was our family telling us how we did wrong, should have done this and should have done that. The problem is the family. I never knew that until I did that. It's hard. We need to begin to take care of our family. When they're old and can't get around, like when you was young and you couldn't walk, we need to be there. We need to honor them. We need to be there in a very special way and just give them all the help and support they need. Nursing homes are full of forgotten parents. And nursing home has a lot of parents in there that are not forgotten. But let me tell you something. In the nursing homes with this COVID, it's abusive to never be able to see your parents or the parents see you. I've worked with six families who their families in a nursing home never seen them for the last 6 months. I've worked with families who their husbands and wives in the couldn't be there when they died in the hospital. I have never thought I'd see that in America, anywhere. It's just something wrong. It's something painful. So hard. But everything we can, we need to do what we can to take care of our parents. My mother was the most peacemaker. She was a preacher's wife. She worked in the county jail till she's 85 years of age, helping those ladies. She loved the Lord. But in the last 6 months of her life, she broke more peace than she ever made. She got difficult. She had dementia. But she was still my mother. And I wanted to do everything I could to honor my mother. Still. Kathy's mother, she wasn't a peacemaker and she got dementia and she was the sweetest woman on the earth. It just moved around in our house. We didn't know how all that worked out, but I was sure thinking Anita just learned to love me in the end. For 40 years, she had a hard time with me. But the last year, I was the greatest guy in the world, man. Whew! Just love your parents. You may not understand that yet, but you will. And parents, look around. When you've taught your children well, they'll honor you well. Honor your parents. Now, what do we do with the parents? Go back to the dishonorable parents. Let me go back to that for a moment. I want to talk to you about that. Because there's a lot of them. And you know why they were dishonorable? Because of the abuse they grew up with in their home. So here's what I want you to do. If it's possible, if it's not too late, if you could go and just try to talk to that parent that has hurt you and abused you. Why did you do that, Dad or Mom? They may not want to talk about it, but I want you to try. I want you to understand why they hurt you. Let me tell you something. I had a dog named Levi. He was my favorite dog, man. He jogged with me and everything. And one day, I always wrestled with Levi. And one day, I grabbed him and he bit me. And he didn't just almost bit me. He bit me. And I immediately said, I'm not going to have a dog to bite me. I'm getting rid of my dog, man. That dog bit me. But then I looked down. You know what I did? He stepped on a thorn, and it went through his foot. And I grabbed his foot. Soon as I knew why he bit me, I wasn't mad at him no more. I had the empathy to let it go. I understood why he bit me. I wasn't even mad at him no more. If you can understand why your parents hurt you, I bet you can go back and find out how bad they were hurt, what they went through, the hell they lived. No taught, no obedience, no love, no adolescence. Abusive. You may go back there and find that and be able to love them and get through it. And if you can't do that, here's what I want you to do, Bible style. Forgive them. Just forgive them. I've had to ask my son to forgive me. I have. I've had to ask my daughter to forgive me at times. And they do. But I want you to forgive your parents. You know why? You're a parent. If you're carrying all that baggage from that hurt in your family, it will come right to the family you live in now and you don't even know it. You got it? See how that goes generation after generation after generation after generation? Because nobody tried to fix it and everybody okayed. We don't have to honor parents because they did this or that. The Bible says we do. And the reason why we do that is so we can honor our children. Because if we bring all the baggage from our parents' hurt into our lives, it goes into the children's life and their children's life. It doesn't stop. So forgive somebody and let it go. So you can be free to love when nobody loved you. So you can be free to understand when nobody understood you. Because the Bible says you honor your mother and your father, not by performance, but by position. And don't excuse yourself. Don't say, well, what they did to you, they deserve that. They do. Aren't you glad you didn't get what you deserved? Say yes. So see, and if you have a hard time and you can't communicate with your parents, here's what I like for you. I like for everybody to do this. Write them a letter. Today. I want you to go home, and I've done that. I wrote a letter to my mother. She's gone now. But I just started writing. Boy, I had so much to tell her. I had so much to share. It just helped me. Maybe your parents are alive. Write them a letter. Tell them about how thankful you are. Tell them how much you care for them. And maybe you can tell them how you forgive them. It'll go a long way. See, when you honor the Bible, things are different in the family. When you do it your way, your families are messed up forever. It started in 1274. It's like that with adolescents. See what God means? When we can honor God and worship Him and keep Him in mind, all these other things in the family falls into place. But get out of line with God, and sir, ma'am, you're on your own. And how's that working? It don't work well at all. So I'm just asking you today to honor the commandments of God. And I don't understand why God said that, but I just believe He knows what He said. And He knows what's best for my family and your family. Amen? Lots been said about honoring families today. I don't think there's any more important thing to do, because when it's the end of the day, all you got is family. Wouldn't it be terrible if you'd have a multimillionaire and have the biggest house in town, have 17 Corvettes and everything you wanted, and sit there by yourself? How would that be? The reason why you got that, because you dishonored your family and went after the money. And now you got the money and got nothing. It happens. So today, we've come to worship Him, and we've taken our minds and challenged them past anything we thought about we were going to challenge today. Because the Ten Commandments are fact and truth and love and principles. No politics in it. No religion in it. Just love. And that's why we study the Ten Commandments. Amen?